talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, here's my good from yesterday. I don't dislike these players. I wanted Will Anderson to be the number two pick. I'm a BPA guy. I've been screaming for a month that I don't want the Houston Texans to be held hostage to the idea that you must draft quarterback. I wanted BPA, so I'm happy that they have Will Anderson. Don't like the trade. C.J. Stroud, I think, has a chance to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. There's things I don't like about him, but the things that I do like about him, as Keith bringing up, I think he has a really strong arm. I think he can throw it to every inch of the football field, and I think he's incredibly accurate. That's the good. I won't say anything bad that I view whenever I watch C.J. Stroud because Keith didn't want it. And then I think the best thing, from at least from my perspective, and I'm going to be selfish here, if Tank Dell's a Houston Texan by the end of the night, that will put a smile on my face. I want Tank Dell to be a Houston Texan. I think he'd be a weapon for this offense. You're adding a dimension of speed and quickness that they might already have with John Metchie, but hey, give me two of those guys. Give Slowick a weapon. Give C.J. Stroud some ammunition to help him out a little bit. So I would love more than anything else if C.J. Stroud's one of the third-round picks for the Houston Texans tonight.
And that's fine. Look, I'd be happy if they start filling other needs and getting quality football players at center and tight end and or wide receiver and other positions, D-line, that'd be great. And look, I believe that Nick's a good talent evaluator, so I have faith that Nick's going to pull some good players. I'm not trying to crap on the organization. I'm not trying to crap on the Texans. I'm passionate because I want them to turn this thing around. And I liked the fact that as disciplined as they had to be, as much as it sucked to embrace the suck, they did one hell of a job to the last week of the regular season, and then they put themselves in this predicament. Then on top of it, again, because we don't have anything on the rundown to state when we're going to do this, but Jeremy, you tweeted it. It's something we discussed. I brought it up earlier and hinted at it. But if there's any truth to the fact that Cal not only was involved, Cal and or Hannah, and engaged, and Cal was so passionate about getting a quarterback that Nick was torn between the owner that writes his checks and appeasing the quarterback he just hired, and felt like in order to do both, he had to give up what he gave up to get both sides to be happy. That's a massive problem to me. That's a massive problem to you. And that's not the way it should be. It should have been done.
My buddy Lonnie texted a theory that I'll get to you in a second that kind of piggybacks off of that, maybe goes one step further. Josh in Beaumont says this was 100% a last-minute Cal move that included a future first that Nick wasn't willing to use to move up for Young, the player they all wanted. Compensation is worse than the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I don't know if I'll go that far, but not good compensation for what the Houston Texans did to move up. The ownership involvement here, like, you can't prove this. You can't prove if Cal and Hannah were pulling the strings. We probably will never know. But I agree that it does smell like an ownership move. Or it could even be a split. It could be a split between, like, Caserio and D'Amico, and then Cal's like, oh, you know, stop interrupting me playing Fortnite. You just trade that future pick. I don't care. I want to play my video games. But I could see a scenario like that. But also, like, the McNairs flat out told you they were going to be more involved. They flat out told you that at the coaching search. And I heard people were celebrating that. Oh, yeah, we love that Cal and Hannah are going to be more involved. What? Why? Why does that make you happy? You should want him less involved. Cal McNair needs to be playing his video games, cooking a brisket, going to a golf course and using some racist undertones, which he does from time to time. That's who Cal McNair is. He shouldn't be making football decisions. If this had anything to do with Cal and Hannah, with the whole, however it played out at 2 or 3, the Texans should be ashamed of themselves. They really should. I hope ownership was not involved in this. That would make me feel even worse. But there's no way to prove it, but it does smell like that. I completely agree.
And honestly,
agree.
There's a way to prove it, but it won't come out right away. I mean, at some point, if there's a parting of the ways with Nick Caserio, or at some point someone that was in the room decided to speak up because they were no longer in a situation where they couldn't speak, that you might find out and have a little bit more clarity. But for now, everybody's left to speculate. Some guys nationally were willing to actually put it out there for everybody to digest. Others are just thinking about it in the back of their heads because we discussed it on the show in the past week. And it's not the way that you properly do football operations. It's one thing to say you've got an ex-football guy that just came into enough money to buy a team that has an input in some of the decisions that are made. Even if it's Jerry Jones and he played like 100 years ago, Jerry Jones is also the general manager. So he's going to have a say in everything that they do. But when Dan Snyder decided to jump in at the last minute and take the guy that the football operations didn't want to take when they were drafting a quarterback, it can screw up the entire franchise. That's why we said we didn't want Cal or Hannah involved with football operations. Stick to the uniforms and, like you said, in the barbecues and the fan polls and all those things. But don't get in the way of what's really, as much as it's been hard to swallow, really been going very well in terms of turning this thing around and getting it going in the right direction.
0002 says they wanted Cal and Hannah to be more involved, and O'Brien was turning the Texans into the laughingstock of the league. Cal McNair empowered Bill O'Brien, then he empowered Jack Easterby. He's the one who gave Bill O'Brien the power and let him trade DeAndre Hopkins. That was a Cal thing as much as it was an O'Brien thing. 8029, that's what Lance said this morning. Ownership wanted a quarterback. D'Amico wanted Anderson. If that is true, that makes me feel much worse about what happened yesterday, because the football people aren't making the football moves. You have the business people making business decisions, and if business is the priority, that means football's not. Like, I get owners wanting to make money. I can't blame them for that either. I can't blame owners for wanting to make money. But if you're concerned about the business decision over the football decision, that means you're putting business ahead of football, and I think that's bad from winning football games perspective, and I think that's the best marketing tool that exists. So that's terrifying.
It's hard to hire a guy and tell him to go do a job, and then at the end of the day judge a guy doing a job that he wasn't fully able to do because ownership is going to tie your hands back and tell you at certain points and times what you're going to do regardless of whether you agree with it or not. Then you shouldn't have been hired for the job in the first place, because you're the one that's going to have to go put on the happy face and sell it to the media and the fan base when you truly don't believe in it. And that's not the best way to put a general manager in a position to do his job.
Blankers, once upon a time, not that long ago, there were rumors that Nick Caserio was going to leave after the draft. That he was going to leave, or the management was going to be different. He was going to be gone. The rumors out there about Nick leaving. Is it possible that Nick could still leave, and ownership getting involved yesterday, and Nick's like, whatever. Like, yeah, you can have that first round pick. I don't care. I'm not going to be here drafting for next year's team anyway. So Cal, Hannah, you want to demand this? You're still paying my check. You're still going to pay my check if I leave, not if I get another job. And this was just Nick Caserio be like, yeah, screw it. You know, Cal, you can do whatever you want. This is your organization. I'm not going to be here drafting next year anyways. I don't care if I trade this Houston Texans 2024 first rounder.
I mean, I'd be interested in how he got out of this deal to get to the next deal and all those details. But is it possible? Sure. I mean, look, you've seen enough general managers that have decided to react and make moves because they knew they were on their last leg of a hot seat and they were about to get canned anyway, and whatever they gave up wasn't going to be their responsibility. But, you know, if Nick decided, hey, this was the last straw for me, we've seen a lot less strange things happen and stranger things happen in with big name players in multiple sports where they have a contract for multiple years at tons and tons of money and they decide they want out and they get it. If Nick's the next to join the club to be able to pull that off and say, hey, this is what you wanted, this is what you'll get, but at a certain point, get me out of here because I can't deal with you guys anymore. As long as he has the right deal, like a Daryl Morey deal in his back pocket where Daryl knew where his next destination was before he got out of Houston and ended up getting paid to leave, and he doesn't offend the people that are hiring him by looking like he made a dumb move, then more power to Nick for being the smartest guy in the room to get what he wants, possibly get paid more to do it, and not worry about the fact that, you know, he orchestrated a trade he didn't believe in. I don't think that's the case. I don't want to believe that's the case. But nothing's off the table.
If he's gone, though, if he's gone in a week, I think it's all back on the table.
I mean, nothing's off.
I think he's back on the table. If he's gone in a week, then, I mean, something forced him out. And I don't think it's the McNair. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Wood, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Wood?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Okay. Hey, this is what I'm going to throw at you. I mean, this is 3 days of the year where it's like Christmas time for fans, owners, GM, coaches. We wake up, we realize we have an opportunity to bring in young players, to build this team, to take it to that next level, hopefully get it to the playoff, Super Bowl. These are the things that dreams are made of, where everyone is on board, everyone is ecstatic. Now, to answer some of your questions as far as did we give up too much making that trade, no, we did not give up too much. Because if you look at it, we gave up a second round, but we got back a fourth round. We gave up a first and a third next year. That's really all we gave up. Everything else was pretty much a swap. Now, if the McNair family decided to say, Jack, we would like to have a little bit more input on who we may want to bring in to this organization, because we definitely want a quarterback in here, because 2 years of Mills ain't going to do it no more. More power to the McNair family to jump in on that one, because Nick has not been doing a great job as far as bringing in them geriatric old players in free agency and trading up to go get Mills and other players that have not worked out for this organization. So I don't have a problem if they say, hey, we want D'Amico Ryan to have a little more input. We're going to decide that we may have a voice. We all going to decide what's best for this Texas organization. They have done a great job yesterday putting this team together. And if this is what they're going to continue to do by bringing playmakers, more power to them. Because right now, man, we ready to roll. We ready to do some things. And we have an organization with D'Amico Ryan and now Kyle and Tanner with new organization and attitude showing. We're not just going to sit back and let Jack Eastman, Nick Caserio, do England way, overrule everything no more. Those days are gone. And it's good to see those days are gone, if that's the case.
Appreciate the call, Wood. Love the passion. Love the believability in your football team. It's just, you just got done saying that he traded up in the past and it didn't work out, and he traded up in the now and you're in favor of it, but you're not in favor of Nick, but you're in favor of Cal and Hannah getting involved. And I'm going to turn the Cal and Hannah part of this over to Jeremy, because he's the one that first put it on the table, whether it was just Hannah by herself or Cal and Hannah, that I completely disagree like Jeremy does. I don't need them involved in football operations decisions.
No, I think it's tough. I think it's bad for the organization. Do you think Cal's making best football decisions when Cal McNair is making the best football decisions? Cal McNair empowered Bill O'Brien to be the general manager. That was a football decision. He empowered Bill O'Brien to be the GM, and he was the worst GM in history for about 6 months until Jack Easterby took over. Who empowered Jack Easterby to be the general manager? It was Cal McNair. Whenever you get money motivated, it means that you're putting aside the football aspect of it. And a lot of this, too, is like popularity. Like, C.J. Stroud's a very popular player. Will Anderson's a very popular player. People are willing to go so far because they're happy the Texans made a splash. They are acting like a real NFL organization. Like, let's be honest, they're relevant again in the NFL, and I understand that's important to a lot of people. I get that. I really do. But because of those reasons, because of your, like, impatience to be good again, your desire to be excited, the desire to have, like, a 9-8 football team once more, you start to blind yourselves to the other stuff, the stuff that you don't want to hear about, the stuff that makes you feel uncomfortable, the stuff that doesn't make you really feel good. Because right now everybody wants to celebrate. Like, yeah, like it's the NFL draft. This is the best day for the Houston Texans because they've won 11 games in 3 years. So we want yesterday to be a celebration. And then when you draft C.J. Stroud and you draft Will Anderson, it feels like a celebration. You just added what you hope is going to be a franchise quarterback. He ain't a franchise quarterback yet. You hope you're adding an all-pro defensive end. He ain't an all-pro defensive end yet. So whenever that stuff happens, you want to be excited. I get it. I totally get it. But I'm going to give you the reality of it, is that the Houston Texans, to trade up to number 3, got fleeced. And if it was ownership that forced the hand of Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, that they had to make, you know, those two picks back-to-back to appease both sides, it's a failure. It's a failure of a first round, even though you got some sexy names at the top of the draft.
I mean, now what all we're left to do is talk about our opinions, both positive and negative, on the moves, hope that the rest of the weekend goes well, and then agree that we will meet again at a certain point in time to evaluate who was right, who was wrong, and who won the trade. Because right now, everything's up for interpretation and opinion, and no one knows anything in terms of how it's going to play out. But I don't know that even at their best, you know, you look at Anderson, if he ends up being somewhere between, you know, he's going to have to be dominant. He can't just be an above-average linebacker in this league. For what you gave up to get him and where you took him, he can't just be a really solid, good NFL player. He has to be the next Watt family member. He has to be Khalil Mack or, you know, all the different players that he was compared to coming out or yesterday or what people saw in college. Because anything short of that, he's now going to be scrutinized more than the quarterback that everybody was wondering if you were going to get, and was he the right guy, and was he going to pan out. Stroud faces a ton of criticism and a lot of people watching, but now Anderson faces more because he was the guy that was picked with the pick that you used all the capital to trade for. And that's a really scary proposition.
I'd go a step further and say they both have to be good because you couldn't decide between the two.
True.
Because you couldn't decide between the two, now both of them almost have to be at that level. 3780 says, can you at least acknowledge with a disclaimer that you don't actually know what happened? Yeah, best guess,
sure.
Just like everything else. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. How we feeling, Houston? You love what the Texans did yesterday? Do you have some uneasiness with the trade that they pulled off yesterday? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 7889 says, glad I am not a Texan fan. You guys are never satisfied. We're satisfied all the time with organizations that deserve to be satisfied about. We're satisfied with the Astros all the time. Why? Because they won two World Series titles. They've been to four World Series. They've been to six straight ALCSs, and they're a perennial winner. What have the Texans done to earn that? Like, that's what the one thing I don't understand is, like, the Texans very clearly and obviously – I mean, you could use your own word to determine this trade, but if you look nationally outside of the homerism in this city, everybody feels like the Texans gave up a lot for this trade.
Yep.
Was it worth it? Depend on what you think. Are they being aggressive? Is it going to work? Like, all that stuff is going to play out. We'll see about that. But outside of this city, whenever you get that, you know, battle red and deep still blue and Liberty white out of your system, and you really, like, look at it clearly, the Houston Texans gave up more than what is normal to move up to number three, especially for a defensive end. Like, that is a fact.
This is the
definition.
No, this is the definition, Jeremy, of going through fandemonium with blinders on. Like, the people that are in the chat, on Twitch, on text saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Everybody loved the trade. Everybody is saying the Texans won the trade and grading them accordingly. They're really not. Like, if you actually take the time to do a deeper dive and take your fandemonium hat off to just look across networks and major outlets, they are killing it and they're ripping it apart. And it has nothing to do with the players that they got. It has everything to do with the context of what they gave up. So that's why I go back to, and Dustin has sources on Twitter summed it up the best when I was going through all this, and I retweeted it because I really believe you can have it both ways if you're us. I love the aggressiveness. I love the fact that they were going for it a bit to trying to get two different players that they felt could really help them, regardless of what might be motivating them to go back, get both an offensive player and a defensive player. However, I hate what they gave up, and I hate how much they gave up. And that's okay, because you care enough to see the bigger picture and worry about what you gave up now, how it affects you later. And that shouldn't be as big of an issue as it is with all the Texans fans that don't want anything but positivity and don't want you to say, yeah, but look at how that could bite you starting next season, especially if you don't have the kind of year that a lot of the people with blinders on are expecting. If they don't win six games, seven games, if they are in a position to have one of the top three picks in this draft, I think a lot of people are going to be singing a different tune.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 0446. You guys are like the Tucker Carlson of sports radio, spewing conspiracy theories that you have absolutely zero proof of knowledge of. I'm assuming this has something to do with the McNair's making the pick. Thanks for listening, Mr. and Mrs. McNair. There were reports that came out, and look, we don't know with 100% certainty what, you know, ownership was doing. Lance is pretty well connected. He says that ownership had something to do with C.J. Stroud's selection. We also heard reports a couple of days ago that the Texans were all of a sudden doing these last-ditch vests on C.J. Stroud to, like, see more into his background. Okay, why is that coming up late in the game? That's kind of awkward and weird. Like, why are they doing that 2 days before the draft? That's bizarre. And then the buildup ahead of yesterday's draft was that many reporters around the NFL that do this for a living, who are well-connected, were saying that ownership was driving what the Texans are going to do at the top of the draft. So it's, yes, we can't 100% prove it without, you know, uncovering every little detail. We're not privy to that. But it's not conspiracy. There's evidence that points that way. There are clues and there are hints that that is a plausible explanation as to what went down last night.
Yeah, no, look, I think that as much as, you know, you're going to get the people that are calling us, you know, like, you know, I love Lenny and Alex and the fact that, you know, with their mad love for Ohio and everything else, that they feel like they can call us Tucker Carlson's. No, no one knows. But what we hear backs up what we thought. The fact that, I think it was Albert Breer and others mentioned the fact, and even Lance indicated that the ownership might be getting more involved. I mean, it's realistic to think, especially since Hannah, obviously, whether you have any indication and proof or not, has become way more involved on a day-to-day operational standpoint with this organization, especially when it comes to press conferences and major moves or moves that they want attention brought to within this organization. It's also feasible that when they sit down for dinner at night, that they might not look at other teams in the league and say, you know what? It's our team at the end of the day. The same way Robert McNair was deeply involved in everything, and he was a football guy per se because he wanted to be and he was there every single day to get involved, that they could do whatever the hell they want to do and no one's there to tell them no. So if they suddenly decide to engage more, just like Dan Snyder, just like Jerry Jones, just like Davis in Vegas, they're fully capable and okay to do that, and no one's going to tell them no. It's just scary because of what they do and the results and ramifications, both short and long term, when you do something like you do if you had to do it last night if you're Nick Caserio.
Longhorn Juan, the texture wants us to be satisfied with what? Losing in every way you could imagine from ownership down? Come on, man. Yeah, the Texans haven't done anything to earn the benefit of the doubt. They really haven't. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Jason, you're in the live with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, Killer Bees? How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
I'm good. I have a lot to unpack. I'll try to make it short and sweet and all that good stuff. But I'll start off with this. I just don't like the pick of an Ohio State quarterback because it's three shows. They don't really do anything in the league. And that jump up to the third pick to take Will Anderson, that was ridiculous. I was actually at the Miller Outdoor Theater, and they were announcing it, and everybody started to get ecstatic, and then the Texans gave up. And I looked at my friend, and I was like, if they gave up the Texans' number one pick for next year, then we got fleeced. We got screwed just like the DeAndre Hopkins deal, even though that was a totally different, you know, GM move. But we always take the popular players at the wrong time. Like last year, Sauce was a popular guy. We should have taken him last year, but we didn't. We went with, Derek Stingley Jr., right? And now this year, we're looking at the popular players because C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, they were at the top of the draft. They're supposed to be. You know, and we know we're calling it out. Well, not we, you guys, other couch GMs and all that other stuff. We're calling it out saying that they're not perennial all-star players. So why not load up maybe on the back end of the first round or the second round and get more players and build a team? Don't get me wrong. I want us to be successful, but I just don't see it with C.J. Stroud, with the whole thing about his test scores and, you know, not really – being a guy, not really being mobile, and something about his arm strength and, you know, hey, if I throw it, you better catch it, that whole thing. It just doesn't sit right with me. Will Anderson, I think he's dependable. I think he'll be there. He doesn't look like he's a problem on or off the field, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, the type of player that we need to get us over the hump, and I'll hang up and listen.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Appreciate the call, Jason. I think it's difficult to see big picture. Like, you get wrapped up in the moment. Like, yesterday was a big day. Yesterday was a huge event. Yesterday was, quite honestly, the most important day of the year for the Houston Texans, sadly, because they don't win football games. It is what it is. They've won 11 games in 3 years. Draft day in this city has been the most important football day in this city for the last few years. It just, quite frankly, has. A lot of times we overrate the sizzle and the splash, and we don't really read between the lines to see what's in the best interest of the organization. Big picture, think it's the wrong move. Maybe it is closer to a 50-50 split, Blankers. It does look like there's more people that kind of agree with this than I thought. I do have a macro point of view. I don't look at it micro. Yeah, yesterday was a lot of fun. I was in the building at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage when the place lit up in excitement. It was cool to see. It gives you a little bit of goosebumps. First time the Texans fans have been that excited in a very, very long time. So I understand that excitement. But sometimes you let emotion, whether it's excitement, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger, whether it's love, distract you from like certain things that are really the root of the trade package in this situation. So like I hate to be buzzkill. I hate to be the wet blanket. And I hope that I am terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. I hope that we can be talking about this in a year. Be like, hey, you remember when you guys were bashing Will Anderson, who just won the Rookie of the Year? Remember when y'all were bashing C.J. Stroud, and he looks like he's going to be the real deal at the quarterback position for the Houston Texans? And the Texans lost the 20th pick of the draft, and Cleveland stunk this year, and you're drafting 7th with their pick. That would be awesome. But I think the reality of the situation is that the Houston Texans, because they're still a very young team, it's hard to win with rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. It's a first-year coaching staff. I think it's a good one, but it's still a first-year staff that has to learn on the fly. I think it's far more realistic that the Houston Texans are looking at, you know, we're going to be here in a year, and the Cleveland Browns are going to be on the clock with the 4th overall pick selecting Marvin Harrison Jr., and then he's going to wear a gold jacket in Canton. That's just the way it feels like it goes whenever you talk about the Houston Texans.
Yeah, look, I mean, I can't say this enough. I haven't said a disparaging word about Will Anderson or C.J. Stroud. I'm hopeful they both turn out. I would have been happy with either one of the guys if that was their pick at number 2. I predicted when Joe had us all make predictions that Will Anderson would go at 2 and then that they would go receiver with JSN at 12. This really, to me, it's unfair pressure that's put on Will Anderson as part of this deal, and maybe both of them. But it's not that I don't want them to succeed or I think negatively of their abilities or the fact that they're Houston Texans. I don't like that the combination of both of them together and what it took to get them and how that might affect this team down the road and as early as next season, but even this season, to take away the ability to add more quality football players at different position groups where they're sorely needed is concerning to me. And because I care and because I want the team to do well and because I'm passionate about the Houston Texans and what they're doing, I have opinions just like you do. Just because they don't match up with your opinions, it doesn't mean either one of us are wrong. At this point, we're all speculating, waiting to see how it plays out.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Texans win, Texans lose. What's your reaction after day one of the NFL draft? And Texans will be in business again today in day 2 of the NFL draft. 713-780-3776, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know that I like a good drink at the end of the day, and yesterday and probably tonight it's going to be a little extra stiff. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. Local Texas brand, Gentleman Spirits, does it all, and they do it better than anybody else. I love mine on a big rock. If you're not drinking it that way, you're doing it wrong. But it's all very fantastic, whether you're drinking it straight on the big rock or you're mixing it in a cocktail. Gentleman, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Prosecco craft technologies, better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentleman is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. No impurities in Gentleman. Try a sip of Gentleman. Compare it to your brand. You're going to taste that huge difference that I did. Wherever since that day, I've been a Gentleman man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Don't labor through your drink. You can find Gentleman Vodka, Gin, and Bourbon at Total Wine. You can find it at Specs, many of the other local liquor stores around the area, or you can head out to Alvin. Try the tasting room out there. It's a great time to be had for all. Pick up your bottle on the way home today. If you're headed to the Astros game tonight, they're at home, opening up a series against the Phillies. Stop by the Gentleman Bar. Try some Gentleman there. It's just to the left of the Crawford boxes right when you walk in the Union Station entrance. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentleman.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, Houston Texans with a monumental day one of the 2023 NFL draft. A polarizing day one. Some people were over the moon. Some people were thrilled. Many people thought they got the best quarterback in the draft, if you don't believe in the wee man. Some people thought they got the best defensive player in the draft as well. People are loving it in this city. There's also some in this city feel like the Houston Texans might have gotten taken advantage of a little bit. Maybe some meddling from the top. How do you feel about it, Hive? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line, Will. You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Will?
Yeah, man, I just wanted to say this is by far, in the 20-plus years that I've been a Houston Texans fan, the best draft that they've ever had in day one.
I mean, I don't know where it's going, but so far this has started off the best draft that I've ever experienced. And I've been disappointed in a lot of drafts, you know, but this year, it's A++.
Appreciate the call, Will. Look, it's easy to get excited, right? Like, I mean, it was an exciting moment yesterday at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. You pull off a tray where you're getting big names like C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, you get excited. There's possibilities that those guys could be the best players in the draft. If those guys are the best players in the draft, Nick Caserio outsmarted the room, which he always gets, you know, people bang on him for trying to be the smartest guy in the room. If C.J. Stroud's the best quarterback in this draft, if Will Anderson's the best defensive player in this draft, and the Houston Texans are a playoff team next year, C.J. Stroud's your franchise quarterback for the next 10 seasons, Will Anderson looks like a perennial Pro Bowler, tip my cap to Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans. They did a great job. But for that scenario, there's also the other scenario where they could struggle for year one as a rookie. They don't have their first-round pick anymore. It now belongs to Arizona. Maybe they go 5-12 and they miss out on a Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe Lucas Van Ness turns out to be a better defensive end than Will Anderson. Maybe whoever's there at 33 would have been a significant piece to this build for the Houston Texans roster. So, look, both sides are in play here. Like, both sides, it could go either way. Like, the performance of C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson and some of the other key players that were picked around 12, picked around 33, and where whoever, you know, goes wherever the Texans go next year will be key figures in this trade as well. But mainly the performance of C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson is going to be what ultimately wins or loses this trade. Right now, this second, we're not huge fans of it. Right now, this second, I think a lot of the city of Houston, fans of this trade, including Will. But the performances of C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson is what ultimately is going to swing this way one way or the other. They produce, they play well, the Texans get back to being a playoff organization. Thumbs up, it was a win, tip my cap, tell you I was wrong. If they don't, we're all going to look back at yesterday and say the Texans got it wrong.
Look, I'll gladly take a spot on Bad Take Boulevard. I'll gladly be Bad Takes Exposed, okay? I'll gladly own all of it if it means the Texans owned this trade and it turns out in their favor. But I owe it to you guys to be realistic and honest in what I see. And that's why it's the one pick that I'm focused on in this entire deal that drives me crazy. Because I don't want to have revisionist history looking back. I don't want to say I told you so. I don't want to sit there and feel the pain that Texans fans are going to feel if it doesn't work out in their favor. And so that's why I think it was just too risky to give up what you gave. I like swinging for the fences. I like a normally very conservative, very hands-offish approach to everything from the Texans, being more aggressive, being in more go-for-it mode, to take a risk to get younger, better players that you hope are going to be great. But we all just don't know. So we have to let it play out. But my gut feeling in watching how it played out and what happened and what was involved in the trade makes me have a whole lot of concern. And that's a problem because this team doesn't have a roster. We talked about this going into the draft. These picks are so vital to keeping this thing going in the right direction. And you really can't afford to swing and miss on too many of them, if any of them, to keep everything on schedule. Now you gave up multiple picks, not only this year but next year, to get two guys that you put a whole lot more pressure on to perform, and you just don't know right now what they're going to be.
So what's a win? Tell me what a win is, because I don't think you guys are giving any scenario with the way you talk about this that you think the Texans can win this.
I do.
How?
Win the trade?
Yeah, like that.
I told you that in the first segment, how they win the trade. Where C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson have to be better than what you could have gotten at 12, 33, and with your first round pick next year. Said that in the first 5 minutes of the show.
But it's like that's. So you need him to be them worth five players.
I said Will Anderson can't be an above average player in this league. Will Anderson has to be Khalil Mack. He has to be some of the Von Miller. He has to be some of the guys that he was compared to, so that you can see how impactful and game-changing he can be for what you gave up to get an impactful game-changing player.
But you're saying that, and I hear you, but like you keep going back to the pick they gave up next year. So it's, even if Will Anderson is a great player and you lose a top 5 pick next year, it seems like you're going to be unhappy.
No, it depends on who the top 5 player is. Because if the top 5 player next year has a better career than Will Anderson, Texans lost the trade.
If the pick that you gave up, the team that used the pick, Arizona or otherwise, takes Marvin Harrison Jr., I got a real problem with that if Marvin Harrison Jr. pans out to be what everybody thinks he could be.
But what if
Marvin
Harrison
Jr., with the value you put on wide receivers, ends up being one of the top one or two or three or five wide receivers in the game, and he could have helped C.J. Stroud's development, and he's now not there because you took both guys? I got a problem with that.
But what if Will Anderson's great and you also don't get Marvin Harrison?
Then you win the trade. Like, it's really
I'm happy
not
to
a
say
difficult
if they want it
quantify.
When they win it.
Yeah,
it's not a difficult thing to quantify. I think Stroud and Anderson have to be better than what you would have gotten at 12, 33, and next year's first-round pick. It's really a simple equation.
Yeah, the way you say that sounds impossible.
But that's literally
But isn't that the way the trade spells out?
That's literally what the Texans sent for number three.
No, I know, but like that's almost impossible for one player to do.
You're saying how bad the trade is then.
Yeah, no, I'm not, because is the Watson trade bad in revisionist history because Denzel Ward's a great player?
Because quarterback position, a little bit different.
But like the Browns, that's who they took at number four, I think, right, in 2018, and then that was your pick. So like, is it the same thing? Like you have to move up in the draft to go get your guy. They go get their guy. And it's like, if he's a great player, I think you win the trade even if the other players are good too.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. If whenever you're making a trade, it's whoever has the most value for whatever players are in return. It can be a win-win. You could be happy with your side of the trade. But if you traded Will Anderson and then next year the number five pick's like the reincarnation of J.J. Watt, you did not win the trade.
But to me, too, it's not as much me saying it. The trade is telling me that. The trade is telling me with all the elements of it that I am fearful and skeptical about what was given for what was received. And I also feel like it's unfair. Will Anderson didn't ask for this, but because...
Stop saying that. Like, who cares? Like, why...
I'm not going to stop saying it because it's part of the discussion because of the fact that everybody is going to put more scrutiny on him and look at him to be great
because
he was the guy that was in the trade. Both of them are going to get the same scrutiny.
Yeah,
both of them are going to get more.
Coming anyways.
But they're getting more. They're going to get more than if they were just taking
at
2 and 3. Yes, they are.
No, they're not, because they're going to get the scrutiny because they're a top pick. Like, yes, you traded up for that guy, but like, it doesn't mean there's extra scrutiny.
National guys are going to – you don't think national guys are going to say Will Anderson if he doesn't perform.
There's more scrutiny, but like, you don't need to feel bad for Will Anderson because there's extra scrutiny on him. It's not going to change his life or how we view him. All he has to do is be a good football player.
Joe, guys that press too hard and put too much pressure on themselves, sometimes they crumble.
It's crazy because you just think everyone is like the softest people on the planet.
I don't, and I don't use the term soft, but I'm saying asking why. I'm not going to stop saying Will Anderson because Will Anderson is the guy that's involved in this trade.
Yeah, but the way you're talking about it is that like he can't mentally handle the fact that he was traded.
I didn't say
for
he can't
it.
Mentally handle
yes,
it.
Yes, you are.
I'm saying he didn't sign up for this. That doesn't mean he can't handle it.
He signed
it
up to be in the NFL.
Pressure. It puts more pressure on him than almost anyone drafted in the first round last year.
What?
Okay, great. So what? But I don't tell you stop saying it.
Because it's like, because you're finally explaining it now. You just keep saying it over and over again.
Because he didn't sign up for it, right?
He signed up to be in the NFL. He was traded for it.
But now he can't just be a good player. He's expected to be great.
He's the third pick in the draft. He's supposed to be great. It's no different.
But you're missing the point, too, where I said if he was just taken at three, fine. But he was taken at three and a whole lot more was given up to take him at three. Now there's a whole lot more crosshairs on it.
It doesn't, but like, my point is that he's the third pick in the draft, whether he's taken by the Cardinals or the Texans. That pressure is the exact same.
I disagree.
Like, you're supposed to be a great player, and if he can't handle it, then too bad, then this is the worst pick in franchise history.
Right, and that again goes back to why the trade, as it spells out, if that happens, is a bad look for the Texans.
But even if it's a bad look, like, they're going all in for a reason. Like, they believe that this guy is going to be a franchise player. Like, that tells you that they think he's worth it. Like,
but they can be wrong, though, right?
Oh, like, well, of course they can be wrong.
They're swinging big. It's a big swing, absolutely. I like the courage. Like, I like the bravado. But at the same time, they gave up way too much in this trade. And I do think it's added pressure, but I do agree with you, Joe. Like, like, if you're going to be a top pick in the NFL, like, either you're going to play well, and if pressure is bothering you, then you probably not going to be very good anyways. Zach says this is the most passive-aggressive stance I've ever heard. Just say you wouldn't have made the trade and you don't like it. We've said it for an hour and a half, Zach. We don't like the trade. We wouldn't have made it. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. How do you feel, Houston? Would you have made the trade? Do you like it? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Big show announcement coming up in about an hour. It's going to change the really the rest of the history of the Killer Bees. Big show announcement coming up at 2:45. You won't want to miss that. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Will, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Will? Let's go to Daniel instead. Daniel, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Daniel? Daniel.
Oh, man, another glorious day being a Houston Texans fan. That I can't understand, no matter who or what GM we have, except Rick Smith. It makes me miss Rick Smith a lot. But no matter, why can't these guys just ever get it right? Of course, I think we're better than we were at this same time last year. I hope, at least. But I do think we are better on the football field. But we had to give up. You guys are absolutely hitting on the head. We gave up way too much. Absolutely way too much. I think people are overlooking the fact that Stroud is throwing to Pro Bowl level receivers, from the guys that were drafted last year to the guys that are going to be drafted this year and the ones that are going to be drafted next year. He's throwing to guys that are succeeding, have succeeded and will succeed at any level, no matter who's throwing the ball to him. And, obviously, Anderson, that's who I would have picked, with the second pick and then let the rest play out. But I think you guys are justified in your thoughts. It doesn't matter who, what happens, who's running this team. It just seems like they can't ever get it right. It stinks of the Hopkins trade. It stinks of the Laramie Tunsil trade that you give up so much and get so little in return. Thank you guys. I'll listen. Hang up.
Appreciate it, Daniel. Look, the Texans are a better football team. Like, if you wanted to rewind to 365 days ago, the Houston Texans are much better than they were almost across the board. C.J. Stroud, I think, has a chance to be a pretty significant upgrade over Davis Mills, and no one's going to push back on that at all. Damian Pierce in his second year. You're adding John Metchie to a receiver's room, but you did lose Brandon Cooks. Do they add more there? The offensive line, you added Shaq Mason, Kenyon Green in year two. You should be better there. The defense, all of your good rookies last year in the second year should be better, and now you've added at least Will Anderson to that defense. Across the board, they're better. And then you haven't even talked about the coaching staff. Like, the coaching staff is going to be a significant upgrade, even though we've never seen them coach before in the NFL, a huge upgrade there. The dilemma now becomes like, okay, was this in the best interest of the long-term build, though? Because I think sometimes, look, I always point to the Astros because they are the best organization that we've seen in this city really ever, this period of the Astros, and they were never willing to budge off of their plan that we're always going to be looking at the future until we're good enough to really strike. I think that the Houston Texans jumped the gun. I think there's a decent chance it was because they were either split in the room or because the McNairs were ready to sell jerseys and a couple thousand more extra season tickets. So I do think that the Houston Texans jumped the gun. I think it lowers their overall potential of how far they can climb as an organization, but there's no doubt they're better today than they were a year ago.
I'm not going to say that it lowers the potential for how far they can climb, because there's other ways that they can get the things done necessary to find the impactful players or whatever players they need to keep climbing. I just think, I agree with your first point, that I think that this kind of, it didn't derail the process, but it might have been the first time that whenever, other than the last game of the regular season, this more so could have slowed it down. I'm excited about adding the two players they added to see if they can be what we want them to be or what others have thought. Look, and Lewis Riddick thought C.J. Stroud was the best quarterback in this draft. I hope Lewis Riddick is right. I hope that they got the right guy. I hope that Will Anderson is just a house of fire and blows everybody away. I'm excited to see what they do the rest of the weekend, because I know that they're in go-for-it mode to some degree. I'm interested if they can fill some of the holes that we know are still there on this roster. And I've mentioned some of them. adding more to the defensive line, adding, finding another tight end for the long term that maybe can develop under a guy like Dalton Schultz and get his feet wet and understand that, you know, he's going to be a part of the solution. Looking at guys that they need a center, looking at wide receiver so they can continue to build. I love all of that, and I'm excited about all of that. That's why I said it should be okay for me to have all that excitement and positivity towards this team, but still have concerns in what they had to give up to get where they got last night.
The only thing that I understand, like, why you guys hate that they gave up the pick next year, but let's look, using with D'Amico here, it's easy to use the 49ers, I think, as an example of that you can fail in the first round and still be a great team. Okay, when you look at the 49ers draft history, they have been a disaster. DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster, like all these guys they've drafted, Trey Lance, that have all just been huge flops. But what D'Amico and the 49ers did so well is they developed late round picks and made them superstar players. And like that's what's made them so talented and so good, is the way they identified late round talent. So there's still a way to success with now two cornerstone pieces on your franchise that you can build a great team. So like, that's where like I don't see like any doom and gloom from this. Like I love that they went all in.
Well, the doom and gloom's pretty easy to see. Now, your point about like the development, maybe they're betting on their development. Like D'Amico, hey, I promise you, Nick, that I can turn a fourth rounder into a second rounder. I can turn a fifth rounder into a third. We might be trading two extra starters for a Will Anderson, but I got you, Nick. I'll develop and groom those two starters. Maybe they're betting on their development and on their coaching staff. And I think that's the best way to build sustained winners is whenever you have great players. Developers. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully they bring that over from San Francisco. But the doom and gloom's easy to see. Doom and gloom is that C.J. Stroud is Jared Goff. And before you jump me on that, that's Lance's comp on C.J. Stroud. And you have a mediocre quarterback. Will Anderson, we've heard that this isn't like the top-heavy draft that we normally see. What if Will Anderson's just steady but never really a star? And then all of a sudden, next year, you go 4-13. You don't have those cornerstones of your organization, and you're sitting there with the second pick of the draft, except you no longer have it. So the doom and gloom is very easy to see.
Sure, but there's doom and gloom everywhere. You know, it's like
But when you look at the Niners situation, it's much easier to take the higher round pick and then turn it into not only a good player but a great player than it is to find the Tom Brady's or the Fred Werner's or the guys that, you know, are developed, you know, in the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. It can happen. They can not only be good, they can be great. But just as easily, I think percentage-wise, the chances of the higher round picks that turn out to be those kind of stars as opposed to the fourth, fifth, sixth D'Amico projects are few and far between. And so that's why there's that extra element of concern, because you know that percentages are with you. Chances are better that those higher picks that you gave away are guys that can be not just good players at their position, but in some cases maybe better than even we thought, and not just starters, but great players.
100%. But if you don't believe that the Texans got it right with these picks, that C.J. Stroud could be Jared Goff, totally fair. I get it. That Will Anderson might not be elite. Then why does it really matter if you gave away a top five pick next year?
Because the players that you gave away could be.
Because
the players
that
you gave away could be elite.
But like you're saying, like you don't think these guys, like if these guys are misevaluated, then it's not like Nick Casera is going to get it right next year.
But he wouldn't be here though. Go ahead.
He wouldn't be here. Like if he was the one making the picks and C.J. Stroud is awful and he traded up for Will Anderson and he's very mediocre, then Nick Casera is fired.
That's very possible. But also, like, it's a year, so like it's going to be hard to evaluate that in a year. Like, we don't expect C.J. Stroud to come in here and light the world on fire.
It would have to be like a Josh Rosen type of situation,
like,
where
you just tell
incompetence.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and you shouldn't grade a rookie on a year. I think it's stupid when people do that. I think it's silly comparing Stingley to Sauce and all that stuff already. You should get a body of time. But you can tell early. I don't think that's going to happen with Stroud. I really don't. I don't think it's going to happen with Anderson. I hope that they're going to be as great as everybody thinks they're going to be. 713-780-ESPN. How great will they be? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.